as far as I'm concerned, that we can over the miles and still be together. I pray for guidance that my words may be in accordance with higher power's will. I trust that the words I say may be just what you or someone else needs to hear right now. Or maybe it's just what I need to hear right now. I will be talking about the evolution of my relationship with a higher power. And here's the caveat. This is my story and mine alone. Some of you may not be comfortable with talk of a higher power for your own reasons. I understand completely, and I apologize in advance. I mean no offense to anyone, and I pray that everyone here might have an open mind and heart. And as always, take what you like and leave the rest. Higher power is really funny. Things kept happening as I was preparing this talk, such as I wanted to look up some references in our Red Book about higher power, spiritual, religious, that sort of thing. And I got my Red Book out and I was all ready to do the research. And then I remembered, hey, wait a second. I already made a list like this some time ago for a different reason. And so higher power put that idea in my head. And sure enough, I was able to go to the computer and with a click of one button, bing, I had my list. Things like that kept happening the whole time I was preparing this. My takeaway, I could be wrong, but CA has no opinion on outside issues, including religions, and that's from Tradition 10. Page 80 says there are no set guidelines on spirituality. Page 350 says ACA members are free to choose the God of their understanding. Pages 141 and 142 has a really good reading. I was going to read it, but in the interest of time, I think I won't. But the kernel was the sovereign. It is the sovereign right of every adult child to choose the God of his or her understanding. Page 79 says the last five words of step three are God as we understand God. These words guarantee that each ACA member is free to choose a higher power. No one will make this decision for us. On page 590, from the solution that we just heard, our actual parent is a higher power whom some of us choose to call God. Page 77 says many people come into ACA having been harmed or turned sour by the belief system of specific religions or dogmas. Page 148 says some of us have triggers. Many of our members have suffered from religious abuse, including harsh treatment. Others have been sexually abused by a priest or other church figure. So the concept of a higher power may be difficult or painful for some. Page 148 says ACA respects all the religions and spiritual belief systems of the world, of which there are many that are organized or formal, or your own personal belief system. It is never necessary to be affiliated with any organized religion or spiritual practice to be a part of ACA and do recovery work. From Strengthening My Recovery, November 18th, page 334 says, personal higher power is the topic. Each ACA member is free to choose a higher power who is available and personal to the individual. No one will make this decision for us. During our childhood, some of us were severely abused, tortured, if you will. We experienced verbal, emotional, physical, and sexual abuse, neglect, abandonment, and many other types of trauma. As adults, we tried to come to grips with how there could have been a loving higher power that let that happen to us as sweet, vulnerable children. As we remembered the intense feelings caused by such devastating treatment, we asked ourselves, where was God on that day? When we are truly seeking an answer, something that will allow us to make sense of our lives, we are ready for the ACA solution. This is where we learn that we have the freedom to choose a loving higher power of our new understanding. This loving presence helps us discover how we can heal all of our wounds. This is quite a promise. As we seek our truth, these wounds, no matter how deep, are being transformed into strengths. On this day, I will continue to seek an awareness of a loving higher power that is larger than all of the dysfunction I have endured. So here is my history. This is what it was like for me. I was born into a religiously active family. We went to church. We read the scriptures. daily at home. There was a church meeting nearly every night of the week for the different auxiliaries, the youth, the women, the men. Teachings about God came primarily from the Bible, the pulpit, Sunday school class, etc. And in my childhood, our religion defined our lives. In my youth, I was still very active. I had lots of, my closest friends were at church. But by the time I reached age 18, I attended the affiliated religious university. And then in young adulthood, from age 22 to 24, I served a two-year religious mission for the church. And then when I got back from that, I went back to the religious university from ages 24 to 26. I got married at age 26 in a very conservative fundamentalist cult, which was an offshoot of the religion of my youth. I had the strong impression, I felt, that it was guidance from God, that this was God's will for me, although I did not love my husband. I figured, okay, if it's God's will, that's more important than whether I love my husband or not. And if it's God's will, the love will come. Well, it never did. My beautiful son was born from this union. So what it was like for me then, there was a security, a certainty of sorts, but I did not ever feel close to nor loved by that God. I just had, that was just kind of my foundation, but it wasn't a close personal relationship, shall we say. At age 29, after 3 years, I left that marriage and the cult and went back to the religion of my youth from approximately ages 30 to 31. After that, I left the religion of my youth. I had the same issues with the religion of my youth as I had with the fundamentalist offshoot. I left religion altogether, sort of, and belief in the God of my youth behind. I found, okay, this is my experience. The God that I was taught about seemed jealous, capricious, showing favoritism, seemed to like war a lot, and had prepared a burning hell for his children, whom he claims to love. In other words, do what I say or else. To me, this really is the foundation and the basis for all abuse. Again, just my opinion. I do not mean to offend those of you for whom this is your higher power. These were the impressions I picked up from the church teachings of my youth. So I joined the greater society, if you will, the world, being like everyone else instead of different, because the religion of my childhood was not Catholic, it was not Protestant, it was something sort of different. And so at that time, I kind of just didn't have a higher power at all, because I'd left all that behind. That just wasn't for me. So what it was like for me then, at that point, I found that I felt very small in the universe, a little lost, disconnected, like I was floating in space. I didn't have an anchor, like a little grain of sand among the whole cosmos. I wondered how other people do this. Because of my upbringing, belief in God was a fundamental part. And when it was missing, I felt lost without that foundation, although it was my choice to turn my back on it. In my 30s, I was introduced by a friend to feminist goddess spirituality. Well, that was very comforting for me. So what it was like for me then, it felt like coming home. The goddess mother felt more loving and inclusive than the god of my youth. And in the history that I've studied, before there were patriarchal religions, goddess was being worshipped by cultures around the world. A mother, to me, a mother loves all of her children equally. And so I found that quite a juxtaposition to the God of my youth that I had grown up with, that had the chosen people, his favored children. That kind of grated on me. Then in 2007, my beautiful son, with whom I had had what I thought was a good relationship up until that time, decided he needed to sever ties with me. So that broke my heart and got me into recovery. I was still involved in the goddess feminist spirituality when coming into recovery in 2008 to cope with the pain of the estrangement with my son. And how that came about was he didn't give me anything by way of explanation. So naturally my mind was spinning around. Wait, I must have been a terrible mother or he wouldn't cut off like this. But he turned out pretty good. He's got a successful life. He's gone to school. He's graduated. He has a job. So I couldn't have been that bad a mother, but he wants to sever ties with me. So I must have been a terrible mother. And I went round and round and round like that and suffered a lot. Then I realized that he was using a substance. And so a light bulb went on. Oh, it must be the drugs. He's not thinking straight. And I knew I needed help, and I didn't have any money. You know, I wanted a group or a therapist or something like that to help me cope. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, there's free help for people like me, families and friends of addicts and alcoholics. So that's when I got online and found Naranon, which is the drug the group analogous to Al-Anon for families and friends of drug users. So I was still involved in the, I think I already said this, feminist spirituality when I came into recovery and got myself a sponsor. And I began working the steps with my sponsor in 2009. In step three, it says, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of my higher power. Well, my higher power at the time was the goddess, but, you know, being a good adult child, I was not about to turn my will and my life over to anyone or anything, including a higher power. But I did make a decision to turn my will and my life over to a higher power. I just hadn't done it yet. I had made the decision. I knew I would someday in the future, but it wasn't that day. By the time I got to step six and seven, it became clear that working those steps just was not going to work if I didn't have a higher power that I trusted. So I didn't trust my old higher power, and apparently I didn't even trust the goddess enough to work those steps successfully. So I talked about it with my sponsor, and she helped me review previous events of my life. You know, what had happened to you? Did you have any? Anyway, she asked me some questions, and it became clear through her help that higher power had been there all along. Things that I had chalked up to luck or fate. Wasn't it lucky or isn't it? It's probably just fate. As religious, and it's ironic to me, as religious as our family was, not once in the whole time that I was growing up did anyone in my family acknowledge, oh, isn't that great that God or Heavenly Father, or, you know, whatever we were calling higher power at the time, took care of us. This wonderful thing happened. Oh, we're so grateful to God for providing this for us or doing this for us. Not once did I hear those words. So naturally, that wasn't part of my thinking. And I'll give you an example. When I was pregnant with my beautiful son, I was living in Montana in this fundamentalist cult. And it was out in the country, and I was driving this big ass Chevrolet, like a Chevy Impala or something like that, up a gravel hill road. And the wheels started, we didn't have chains on the car, and the wheels started to spin, and I started to slip backward. And I thought, well, I can just let off the accelerator, let off the brake, and just let the car roll, you know, just backward down the hill, and I'll come to a place that's wide enough to turn around, and I can go home. Well, let me tell you, that isn't the way it works. The car started to slide sideways, and I could see that there was a gully, and I thought, well, I'm young and strong. If I end up at the bottom of that gully, despite the snow, despite the pregnancy, I can probably manage to climb up that bank. I'll probably be fine. The car slips, and then it stopped. Well, that's very strange. So I got out and went around to the back of the car. One strand of barbed wire of a fence that was lining that road caught on the corner of the trunk of that big-ass Chevrolet and kept that car from going down in that gully when I was pregnant in the snow. Mm-hmm. I called it fate. I called it luck. Today, I can recognize that higher power was there protecting me and my child. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful that I didn't have to climb up that bank pregnant in the snow. So I was able to reinterpret a number of incidents in my life like that with the help of my wonderful sponsor. And then another thing she said to me was, okay, if that higher power doesn't work for you, the one that you grew up with, or the one you have now, fire that higher power and make up a new one. Well, I'm a religious person. That sounded a lot like blasphemy or heresy to me, someone who'd been indoctrinated in a faith such as I was. What? You can't do that. Lightning's going to strike here any second for even talking like that. So what it was like for me then, I was nervous. Later, when I was looking at my alcohol use and went to some AA meetings and started reading their big book, I was relieved to find the following on pages 46 and 47. And you'll excuse me if I quote from another fellowship. But Bill W. is pretty wise, and he said, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. The realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding. When, therefore, we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. Aha, there it is. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. This was all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to effect our first conscious relation with God as we understand God. The wording in the 12 steps. End of quote. So there it is, straight from the AA Bible, that it's okay and even encouraged to find your own definition of God. Groovy. So no lightning. So here's, so I started writing, and I wrote and wrote and wrote, and here's what I wrote about my higher power, the higher power of my choice, my understanding. And bear in mind, I was still involved in the goddess community, so the pronoun is going to be feminine. First, she loves me, truly, deeply, completely, strongly, fiercely, always, no matter what. She is the perfect, warm, loving mother I never had. She is my mother. Real mother was a bitch. She is my true mother, my real mother. She cares about me, knows me completely, supports me always, never blames or scolds, but comforts, encourages, and supports and teaches me. She is always available, never abandons me. She thinks I am wonderful, smart, pretty, talented, sweet, strong, spiritual, deep, sensitive, intuitive, clever, delightful, artistic, creative, good, generous, honorable, trustworthy, caring, empathic, and every other good thing. She is delighted that I am alive. She loves me, cherishes me, honors and respects me. She thinks I am a blessing. Mm. To my own mother, I was a scapegoat. Mm. She listens to me, hears me, and responds to me in a loving way. She is kind to me. She makes me feel loved. She teaches me how to love myself and others. She helps me remember that I am a being made of love, just as she is love. She fills my life and my world with love. She knows I deserve every good thing, everything I want, and more. She knows what I want and what I need. She has my best interest at heart. She knows what is best for me and provides it for me. Next, she is all-powerful. She can do anything. She can make anything happen. She can change the past, the present, and the future. She can change things, people, and events. She can move things, make anything appear or disappear. She can find things and hide things. She can control nature, weather, animals, people, everything on Earth, the whole universe. She can heal the sick, bring back beings back from death, comfort the afflicted, and afflict the complacent. She can fix my life. She can fix everything. She can restore me to sanity. She can give me all the things I ask for: peace, serenity, health, love, ease of support, wisdom, confidence, patience, acceptance, strength, and compassion. She can show me my true path, my purpose and mission for this lifetime. She can help me find forgiveness for myself and others. She can guide me the rest of my life. She can make me know it's her guiding me and not my own thoughts. She can help me know the difference. That was an issue for me at first. She can put the people, things, and experiences in my life that I need when I need them. She is beautiful. She has a sense of humor. She is funny and thinks I'm funny. She laughs. She's witty, intelligent, and clever. She is talented, artistic, musical, dramatic, and graceful. She's strong and energetic. She enjoys beauty, song, dance, art, flavor, scent, all pleasure. She is compassionate, patient, accepting, and loving. She is just and fair. She is wise and all-knowing. She is bountiful and giving, providing me all that I need before I even ask. She is kind and gentle. She is love, peace, and harmony. She protects me, keeps me safe, and provides for me. She is passionate, sexy, sensual, and sensuous. She is creative. It is she who created all that is, all that ever has been, and all that ever will be. She knows what I want and need better than I do. She wants me to be happy and will provide me with what will make me happy, even if I don't know it will or that I want it. She gives me insights and guidance. She knows me and unfolds wisdom, ideas, thoughts, and inspiration, all in due time. And that's as far as I got, and I can always add to it later. So what it was like for me then, it was wonderful to finally have a higher power that I could relate to and trust. I could comfortably and confidently proceed with my recovery. Truly, this has made all the difference for me. It made it possible for me to continue my work on my steps and to trust the higher power of my understanding. So ACA started in Santa Barbara, I believe, in 2012. I didn't hear about it until 2013. I jumped in right away and got involved. And by then, I'd started in recovery in 2008, but by 2013, the name, gender, address, nature, attributes, etc. of higher power did not matter to me. My long name for higher power is God, Goddess, Source, Spirit, the Universe, or whatever you want to be called. At a recent meeting, I heard the term the divine. Someone calls their higher power Gus, G-U-S. That stands for Great Universal Spirit. I heard someone at a meeting, she likes to describe her higher power as the best boyfriend ever. He never talks back to me. I don't have to check in with him. He always is there for me when I want. I don't have the problems that I have with human boyfriends. And she had quite a list of how her higher power is the best boyfriend ever. My new name for my higher power is, you know who you are. And that's enough for me. So what was it like for me then? I've been active in my ACA recovery. And anyway, these are some of the things I've done. I started two ACA meetings myself. I currently support two Santa Maria meetings by attendance and service positions. I serve as a speaker when asked. And et cetera. But anyway, I always have a service position. I attend ACA conventions, retreats, and workshops. I've been working with an ACA sponsor from 2014 until just recently, the end of February. I started participating in a step study group in 2014. I completed my ACA steps at the end of February of this year. Hmm. In about 2016, I started noticing, they were there all along, I'm sure, but anyway, they started happening thick and fast. And what I'm talking about is miracles that began to happen more and more frequently. For example, in 2016, I came home from an ACA convention, and I was rinsing my bathing suit in the sink because I had gone swimming at the hotel. Well, the sink overflowed. My landlord got mad. I was unemployed and hadn't been able to pay rent. And he didn't get mad, really. He just said, you know, I can't keep carrying you, and this is kind of the last straw, and, you know, it's an additional expense, and I don't have any rent coming in. So at that point, my anxiety went through the roof. I didn't know at the time that I had complex PTSD from the from the trauma and abuse and neglect of my childhood. I just knew that I was paralyzed. I was sitting on the bed knowing I needed to do 10 dozen different things, like find a place to live, get a job. And I was just like a deer in the headlights going, oh, shit, I can't move. So I did have the sense to reach out to my recovery friends for references to help practitioners for anxiety. Do you know anybody who does either individual or group therapy for people with anxiety? These resources referred me to People Helping People, which is here in the Valley, it's an organization that helps people. Anyway, they helped me a lot. I found counselors, doctors, and other help. The diagnosis was complex PTSD with anxiety and depression. I'd known about the depression all along, but the anxiety part was new to me. In other words, I'd had it all along, but I didn't know it. I've never had an anxiety attack, but I'm depressed. Yeah. But there it was, it went through the roof. There's an interesting story about that I won't tell right now, but anyway, about how I discovered that I had anxiety. So no surprise here, given my childhood. So I was actually evicted in 2017. Where in the heck am I going to go? What in the heck am I going to do? Well, around that time, I picked up a voicemail on my phone from a friend in Lompoc. It said, hi, I'm just reaching out to all my friends. My hours have been cut back, and I'm thinking about renting out some of the rooms in my house. So I'm just letting you know in case you or anybody you know might have some leads for me. Oh, my gosh, how perfect is this? So I got right in the car. First, I called her up. Is that room still available? Yes, it is. I'll be right there. Drove over, look. Yeah, this will do. Thank you very much. Where do I sign? Here's my deposit. And suddenly I had a roof over my head. I had a place to lay my head. And then it became time to move. And moving helpers showed up, mostly recovery friends and people from the church of my youth. God bless them. They're really good, kind, and loving and giving people. Well, as it turns out, the landlord, the one who'd been so patient with me for so long when I couldn't pay rent, also has PTSD. Now, what are the odds of that? So when I talked about feeling traumatized and paralyzed, he got it. He says, oh, yeah, I carry my Xanax in my pocket all the time. If I feel an episode coming on, you know, anyway, he just had been in Vietnam and, you know, that was where his was from. I was living in what I was being evicted from was a mobile home in a mobile home park. And it was furnished, and they didn't have room in their house. Oh, and he was selling the mobile home. That was it, and needed to get rid of all the furniture. And I said, oh, really? You're getting rid of your furniture? I need furniture. I don't have a stick of furniture. I had gotten rid of all my furniture a few years before because I had moved into an RV and didn't need furniture. So he gave me all the furniture I wanted from that house. A full bedroom set. I didn't take the living room furniture. It was too bulky. The dinette, a hutch. I mean, nice stuff. Stuff I really needed and really could use. So that to me was a big, big miracle. For free, I had all this furniture. My parents had passed away, one in 1998 and one in 2001. My son was either controlling or no help at all. And in April or May of 2017, after I had moved to Lompoc into this friend's house, I was talking to my sister on the phone. She referred me to my nephew, her stepson, contacted the church where I lived, and the bishop of that church contacted me, and this bishop has an executive secretary named Eric, and Eric contacted me to set up an appointment with that bishop, and I told him I needed a job and a place to live, and Eric says, well, I have a free apartment I'm not using, and I thought, what could that possibly mean? Those words don't make any sense to me. How can you have a free apartment you're not using? And, well, it turns out he was working for housing, and the free apartment came with the job, and he wanted to quit the job, and I looked at the apartment, and I said, well, I'll take the apartment if I can have the job that goes with it, and he goes, great, because I was going to quit the job anyway. So suddenly I had a place of my own. It was a 350-square-foot studio, so it was really small, but it was lovely and nice and wonderful and free with the job. It was one of the perks of having the job there. Another miracle. Eric and his mover friends from the church drove by. They said, when would you like to move? Well, how about right now? So they pulled up with a flatbed truck and a couple of pickup trucks, and in 15 minutes they had everything out of the room that I was renting from the friend, and I was moved in to my brand new studio, free with the job. I call them Eric and his band of angels. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were angels to me. I feel like I was growing up for the first time. I was totally self-supporting and more reliant on higher power. I did lots of prayer. I had doubts and fears. You know, am I going to be able to keep this job? Well, I hadn't gotten the job yet, so are they going to hire me? Is this going to last? And my sponsor at the time said these wise words that I wrote down on a piece of paper. And I swear to you that this is the truth. I taped it to my wall right above my kitchen table so I could see it every time I had doubts and fears. And it goes like this, quote, whatever happens will be wonderful and for my best good. These are the promises of recovery. End of quote. So it was a part-time job. It was at night. I could go to school. I went up to Allen Hancock College. I was up there trying to register. It had been 30 years since I'd been in college, and all those wonderful, sweet college students were helping me. You know, I'd never registered online before. When I went to school, it was IBM punch cards that you pull. All of y'all have never even heard of that stuff, I'm sure. But anyway, that's how. So I needed help, and I was sitting out there getting help by these sweet, wonderful, darling students. And this woman comes bouncing out of her office. Hi, I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. My name's Linda. I'm in the LAP, which is the Learning Assistance Program, and I'm thinking that you might need some help from me, from our department. And I said, well, I don't know. What do you got? She said, well, come on in and let's talk. So she was able to help me with a lot of stuff like that the Learning Assistance Program has, like extra time for taking exams. It had been 30 years since I'd been in school. I wasn't sure my brain even still worked. So I was really glad to have her help. Another angel. I mean, and she said to me later, you know, Allison, it's the strangest thing. I've never done anything like that before in my life. I said, don't worry about it, Linda. Stuff like that happens to me all the time. You're just one of the angels that God provided in my life. So thank you very much for being my angel and showing up right when I needed you. Then in October of last year, I got a promotion, better money, a new position, a great apartment. So I moved out of 250 square foot studio. I now live in, you won't believe this, a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment in a gorgeous building. I have a beautiful view out my back door, complete with, well, it's about a postage stamp size patio, but it's a patio. It's outdoors. I have one chair, one table, and I can sit out there morning, noon, and night and look at that beautiful view. I'm telling you, I feel like I moved from a tent to the Taj Mahal. I bought a little pull-behind travel trailer, pop-up trailer, because that's supposed to be my getaway vehicle. Because now I'm managing a 60-unit. The previous property was 40 units, and this is a 60-unit senior property that I'm managing. And I knew that I was going to need a way to escape and get away and have some leisure and recreation. But I found that I felt trapped here. Like, oh, this isn't, I know that my true mission in life is to be a counselor, and there isn't any. And now that I am working 30 hours a week in the office here, I won't have time to go to school and get the credentials I need to do the counseling. So I reached out for help to my higher power and others, and the solutions are coming. The solutions came. I finally decided, I've heard the saying, bloom where you're planted. And I thought, higher power arranged all this. So I must be here for a reason. And I love all my tenants. They love me. And I am able to help them and be there for them. And they just want empathy and a listening ear and a shoulder to cry on. And it's very, very fulfilling for me. So it's not the job of my dreams, maybe, but it's the job for right now. And I'm absolutely certain that this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. I found my energy was real low. I thought, it must be that, I'm not used to, before I was working 25 hours a week. And I could sleep in as long as I wanted because it was a night job. Now I have to get up at 6 in the morning, and it's a 30-hour-a-week office job. And I thought, it must just be that. But I was just so tired, I had to take a nap as soon as I got off work every single afternoon. So I went to my doctor, and I'm on some thyroid medication, and he adjusted that a little bit. Anyway, now it's great. I have lots of energy. So, and my doctor is so wonderful. I wrote him a thank you note because he's so kind and understanding and listens and patient. Some doctors, here, take this, and you're out the door. But I never have felt like that with him. He's just absolutely adorable. My self-care has become better. I get adequate sleep. I feed myself. I rest. I get exercise as much as I can. I take a walk at least on the weekends. My weeks seem to be pretty busy, but now I'm on administrative leave, so I can walk. I've walked almost every day, and I'm feeling good. And my relationship with my little girls and my loving inner parent is developing. I'm discovering new little people in there all the time. I've got an infant. There's a 2-year-old. There's about a 7-year-old that I call Miss No, because she's the one that says, we're not doing that. Nope, no way, forget it. No. So that's Miss No. There's a junior high girl. She's the newest one. And a teen girl. And she's like, whatever. When I first reached out to her to try to talk to her, she told me to fuck off. And, she's 14, 15. I remember myself back then. I was miserable. And it got me back in touch with how tough those years were. By then, my sister and brother, who are both older, had moved out of the house and left me alone with those people. And I cried every day. Well, teenage girls are pretty emotional anyway, because hormones are doing goofy things and all that sort of stuff. But so it's sort of abnormal to not feel crazy when you're 14, 15. But anyway, it was a pretty miserable time for me. And I have, in addition to, the, well, sort of maybe, I don't know. Anyway, on page 115 of the yellow step workbook, our ACA workbook, there's an exercise on page 115 that talks about you're invited to make two columns, one with experiences that you had in your family growing up, you know, an event, how the family dealt with it. And in the other column, you're invited to write, how would a kind family have dealt with this situation? How would you have been treated if you'd been raised in a kind family? So I developed this inner kind family, and that's their name. They're the kind family. That's their last name with a capital K. And I can picture them in this beautiful white kitchen, and they're all smiley and serene. And, hi, Allison, how are you doing? There's mom and dad and, a boy and a girl and a cat and a dog, and they're wonderful. So when I need, the support and comfort of a kind family, I've got this inner kind family there for me. I'm practicing prayer, my style of prayer, which can be kind of irreverent sometimes. Sometimes I yell at God, but mostly it's like a conversation. I am making a real effort at starting a meditation practice. I'm journaling, and I'm asking for and receiving guidance. These are all miracles to me, and a result of the work I've done in recovery and so forth, and everything you've heard me say up to now. So that brings us up to the current day. What is it like for me now? All of this has made me feel loved, supported, and protected by my higher power. I like to say, higher power has my back. I'm being taken care of and well taken care of. We have a friendly, almost casual relationship. My higher power loves me, and I love my higher power. And the first time I prayed and said, I love you, to my higher power, I sort of surprised myself. I had never said that in a prayer, but I truly do love my higher power, and I know that my higher power loves me. So let me conclude by sharing with you some other miracles, because I love to talk about the miracles. These are the things that higher power does for me that I could not have done for myself. In answer to prayers, I prayed for love. I did not feel love growing up. I did not love myself. I did not feel loved by anyone. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. That was me. And I wanted to feel love. I wanted to feel love fiercely and strongly. I wanted to feel love the way it feels to be loved by a lover. And the answer to the prayer has come. I feel love from my higher power. I feel love from others. I feel love from myself. I feel love for others. I feel love for my higher power and the love coming from myself to myself. And like I say, that's an answer to prayer. I asked for it, and I got it. It came. I have a new adoptive family of choice. I have a sister, and who I like to call my daughter. She's the person that I have selected as my healthcare agent. And I'm taking care of myself on holidays instead of feeling sorry for myself. At first, before my son and I became estranged, we were sort of, it was by choice. We sort of cut ourselves off from the rest of our family because, those people were all nuts and we didn't like them. So my family was very small. He and I, we got along great. We got together on Christmas and Thanksgiving. We baked pies. We had a good time, ate a great meal. And then he'd take me off into the mountains for a lovely hike. And once he severed ties with me, all that was finished. I didn't have a relationship with the rest of my family, so I was alone. In the meantime, he'd gotten a girlfriend, became engaged, and got married. So he had a new family I had nothing. And those first few holidays were pretty tough. But I've learned how to check in with myself with this question. Well, Allison, what would you like to do today? And usually the answer is, well, I'd like to take a hike up to Red Rock along Paradise Road. And I do. That's what I love to do on Christmas. I take a blanket. I lie under a tree, my favorite tree up there. No leaves. And I look up through the bare branches of the tree at the sky and, you know, just kind of pray and meditate. And I have a snack. And it's lovely and wonderful and feels very self-nurturing. So from self-pity to self-care, I have new service opportunities. I have a new ACA sponsee and the opportunity to speak here tonight, which is really sweet. I'm meeting new people on my job, including someone special. This is an answer to prayer. I prayed, the way I pray for things is to thank God in advance for the wonderful fill in the blank. Thank you for the wonderful job you're preparing for me. Thank you for the beautiful home you're preparing for me. Thank you for the great relationship that you're preparing for me and that you're preparing me for. And this relationship is helping me see and address a lot of my old dysfunctional behavior patterns that I tend to practice in relationships. Might not surprise you that I've had some tough times being really great in relationships. I've been married twice. The longest was 5 years. You know, just no, not great. I am learning so much from this, and it is focusing my attention on how I practice my character defects and the laundry list traits in relationship and my emotional intoxication, addiction to excitement, oh my gosh, and other traits such as impatience, control, fear of abandonment, codependence, loving someone I can pity and rescue, and being attracted to someone who actually is not really, not truly available, either emotionally or otherwise. And it's a miracle that I'm here tonight. Look at us. We are in the midst of a pandemic, and regardless of that, I have no idea how many people are on this line, but I wasn't sure the technology was going to work. I hope that you were all able to hear me well tonight. So I trust that the technology did work. And thank you all for making that that possible. And thank you for the opportunity to share my story. And thank you for being here with me tonight virtually. I'll close by saying, may the higher power of your understanding continue to bless and guide you on your recovery journey. Thank you so much. I love you. Good night.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you, Allison.
That was wonderful. Love you, sister.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you, Allison.
Oh, here comes yours.
What's that? Together, Duncan and his checker together.
Please join me in quietly thanking Allison for sharing her story with us.
Thank you, Allison.
Thank you.
Thank you, Allison.
Thank you, Allison. You rock.
Bye.
He's coming. Keep it famous.
Thank you, Allison.
I've been watching these three things, so tell me if I have this right. You have this 15-year-old experience where you tried to